The views and opinions expressed by John and DJ do not reflect those of any intelligent or rational human being and are solely the property of the Brightside Chat.
This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
Hey, welcome back to the Brightside. This is issue number 85, The Matrix. And today, this is the bright side. It's a beautiful day here. Hopefully, it's nice where you are. I'm going to do my best to stay positive, not like last Thursday. And it should be pretty easy. I really enjoy this movie. John and I get into a pretty decent discussion about it. And this is one of those movies that really lends to comic book store conversation. I've had a few of them myself over the years. We touch on a few things. There's obviously plenty more. This movie has so much depth. So let us know what you think. You can tweet at us, email us. All the info's in the show notes. So let's head into the store and have a good old-fashioned comic book conversation. With tangents, too. Hey, John, you proactive artist, you.
That's me.
I saw you just look down like, what's my, oh, that's my name today. Okay.
Yeah, it's my name. Don't wear it out.
Another very appropriate one.
Yeah.
I'm starting to think you're actually coming up with these.
Yeah, you caught me.
I even forgot to change mine. Mine's just the bright side. So I am the bright side today. I'm going to be bright on this Monday. I am not going to rant about anything. It's just all sunshine and rainbows today, my friend.
Awesome, awesome.
Oh, crap, I forgot. Have you seen... We forgot to talk again. Sorry, uh-oh. We're going to check that. We're going to have a little segue from sunshine and rainbows.
Oh,
you seen Stargirl?
I have seen Stargirl.
Okay, both episodes?
Both episodes, yes.
I haven't seen the second one.
I watched both. I'm actually a little bit higher on it than you are.
A little bit.
Maybe because you set my expectations lower. I don't know, but I actually kind of enjoyed it. Yeah, I didn't. I mean, the acting isn't stellar, but
there?
I didn't find. Oh. I didn't. No, I mean, again, I didn't find it to be as bad as you did. I actually kind of enjoyed it. I thought it was pretty,
really?
Pretty decent. Yeah.
How was the second episode? I was going to watch it. I was going to cram it in. And then I'm like, wait a minute. I'll actually talk to John about it and see what he thinks. And maybe that'll change my view before I delve back into this.
Well, there was definitely more action, like more happens, you know,
because
obviously the first episode is a get to know our characters and, you know, how does she find the cosmic staff type of thing. You know, we get the little training montage, but that's kind of really it. This one here, there's definitely a lot more action. You know, you see at the end of the first episode, Luke Evans there, or Luke Wilson rather, in the Autobot. And, you know, you definitely get a lot more of that in this episode. So, I don't know. Like I said, I'm not blown away by it by any means. Don't get me wrong, but.
Right.
I mean, it's on par with the CW for me. I mean, it's on par with everything else I watch.
Yeah.
What struck me is that you thought the acting on this was terrible and didn't like it, but you're okay with Batwoman. So.
Well, yeah, but I give some forgiveness to Batwoman because it is on the CW. Whereas this was not slated to be on the CW.
It wasn't, but it's definitely got that feel. Like, it
right.
was kind of already,
oh, yeah.
it was CW adjacent right from the get-go, you know?
So. Oh, yeah. But that's what I mean. It's like, so my expectations were a little higher on this. And then when I, you know me, it's like, I didn't like Shazam the first time I saw it. So
I was in a
bad mood that night.
Yeah.
So, I am rather forgiving. So I will give it another shot. I'm glad you liked it. I'm glad maybe I even softened it for you by
coming in a little negative on it. Yeah, you
so,
might have. You came in hard. You know, so
maybe it could be also like, you know, Corona content. Like, ooh,
could be.
New.
Yeah, could be that.
So.
But yeah, I don't know. Like I said, I liked it a little bit more than you did. So.
All right. All right. Good. Good to know. So we can't look at that. We stayed sunshine and rainbows.
We did. Yes, we did.
It's a great
Monday.
Waiting.
You were expecting me to go full bore on that.
Well, you know, when I do, it's like, you know,
I know,
giving you a green light.
I know, really. Like, I should have just taken it because it's a freebie, like, but.
I know, like on Thursday, I swore at the beginning and you're like, well, I got to get mine in.
Yeah. It's like, well, it's like, if he can do it, I can do it.
Exactly. You're holding back. On
usually,
a good
right. Cause usually I can't.
So. Yeah, you're usually ready to open up with a, hey, F you.
Yeah.
What? That's a hello. All right. So hopefully we stay along sunshine and rainbows. We're going to talk about The Matrix.
Yep.
We'll play a trailer. I have no idea what this is, so I haven't played it yet. And then we'll come back and we'll talk about The Matrix.
All right.
Dream, Neo, that you were so sure was real. What if you were unable to wake from that dream? How would you know the difference between the dream world and the real world?
What is happening to me?
The answer is out there, Neo. It's the question that drives us.
What is the Matrix?
The Matrix is the world that has been pulled over your eyes to blind you from the truth.
What truth?
They're watching you, Neo.
Human beings are a disease. You are a cancer of this planet. And we are the cure.
Get me the hell out of here!
Welcome to the real world.
So you're here to save the world.
So what do you need? Guns. Lots of guns.
No one has ever done anything like this.
That's why it's going to work.
Buckle your seatbelt, Dorothy. Because Kansas is going bye-bye.
Unfortunately, no one can be told what the Matrix is. You have to see it for yourself.
All right. So what did you think? What do you think of this movie? You kind of teased us a little bit on Thursday. Before I go, I want to hear what you have to say.
Well, I honestly think this mostly holds up.
Cool.
Like I actually really liked this movie. I loved it. I was completely blown away in 1999 when this thing came out. I mean, yes. At the time it was really unlike anything we had seen before that. I think the concept, you know, behind this movie is awesome. I love the premise of this. And like I said, overall, it mostly holds up. I mean, there's some technical issues, obviously, special effects wise
that technology advances.
Exactly. And we've talked about that before, but unlike, you know, some of the other ones we've talked about recently where I don't think they held up as much. This one didn't have as big of a fall for me as I was afraid that it might. You know, because I also have not seen this in a long time. I watched this on Netflix. I, for some reason, couldn't find my DVD, and I don't own it on Blu-ray. I've been waiting for the 4K, which I know is out. I just haven't.
It's out, yeah.
I haven't bought. So I watched it on Netflix, which didn't have, you know, for the theater people, it's not in 4K or Atmos, but it's still pretty good, you know, it's still pretty good quality stream. So I mean, that was good. You know, and like you said, it's 21 years old now. So,
yeah. 1999. Yeah,
I mean, special effects are, you know, I mean, they're going to be what they are from a movie for that time, but yeah, you know, I'm sure we'll get into some breakdowns a little bit more, but my overall opinion was that I had a really good time watching this, and like I said, it mostly holds up.
Yeah, same here. It really holds up for me because this is one of those movies that it really, like, you know, Wilson Fisk's white painting. This movie kind of like just it like, and I think it did with a lot of people. Before this movie came out, this was one of those things that. And that I think a lot of people felt like you ever wonder, like, am I living in a dream?
Right.
Or is this, you know, and it's one of those, like, what if your whole life was a dream?
Right. And I think everybody has that
exactly
thought, but.
And then this movie comes out and the conversations, the water cooler talk that this yeah. movie generated, I think was just like nothing else.
Yeah.
It's like, at least at the time, because there was so much to it. And then you get into the artwork of it and that it is a piece of art and that, you know, like the whole movie is like, not the whole movie, but most of the movie has that green tone to it.
Right.
So, and you, to just give you a little bit, if you want to hear the whole thing, that's actually my podcast that came out Friday, on my home theater podcast is I broke this down. And, but yeah, in the 4K, it's really, really nice.
Is
really,
it? Yeah,
it's a lot sharper.
So.
And the Atmos is really nice. One of the bad things, but it's kind of cool, is that, so, you know, when you start a movie and it, like, it should just default to the highest sound.
Right.
This one, this is one of the few that doesn't. It actually just starts in Dolby Digital. So if you just resume a movie, which I did a couple of times, you come back to it and you'll be listening to it and it just doesn't sound right. And
right.
then you'll go in on the menu while the movie's playing and you'll hit Atmos and all of a sudden the whole room fills with sound. You're like,
yeah,
that's a difference. I
that's
like
cool.
that.
Yeah. You almost yeah. want to do that on and off a few times just to.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of fun.
Yeah.
But yeah, the movie itself though, just, I mean, the casting, the people, there's so much. It's hard to go over all of the water cooler talk that we went through. Like,
well, because, and this was kind of like the first time we see Keanu Reeves in a movie like this, right? Because we kind of know him from, like, prior to this, it was Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, and
yeah.
you know, he was kind of like the stoner goofball kind of thing. But this is kind of what comes in and paves the way for John Wick later on. Right, like he can hold a movie, like he can carry
yeah.
a movie as like the action star. Because like I said, prior to that, we hadn't seen it. We did get the one scene that made me laugh though.
He had done Speed.
Oh, that's true. He had done Speed.
That was yeah. his big one before that.
You're right. I'd forgotten about that.
But he was a secondary, and I mean, he'd done like
well,
like Devil's
he was
Advocate.
Well, and he was in Point Break, and he was in some other things, but he never really carried. Those
but
movies.
He wasn't the main star.
Even in Speed,
right.
I would argue that Sandra Bullock was the star, and he was kind of
yeah.
like the
yeah, you're right,
the supporting
in a way.
Character. So, but this, like I said, to me, this is kind of what launched him as, like I said, kind of like an action movie guy. At least that's what I, you know. Obviously, there's some things he did before that didn't stick out for me as much as this one did. So in my mind, anyway, this is what put him there for me. I was going to say, we did get the kind of like the stoner surfer whoa when he's on the rooftop
yeah.
and doing the jump. That
yeah.
made me laugh. I was like, there you go. There's the Keanu I remember.
Yeah.
you know.
Yeah,
so
and
that
when he tells him to jump and he goes, okie dokie.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, I love that line.
Whoa.
Whoa.
So, like, the premise to this is very similar to, like, Terminator, right? Except they go in different directions. Because the start of this is, like, the same. It's kind of like Skynet becoming self-aware, right? It's like the AI rises
yes.
up to take over humanity. But instead of in Terminator warring on the humans and basically wanting to wipe them out of existence, and this movie where they're their food, right? Because we scorched
right,
the sky,
their batteries,
right? We took
yeah.
away their solar power, so we're their food source, their energy source. So it goes in a different direction, but they kind of had similar beginnings, like
right.
And again, not a new concept in sci-fi, right? Like, it's been a running theme.
The war against the AI, the war against the machines.
Yeah, that the AI are going to rise up and take over. And quite honestly, especially like looking in the world we live in now, like, we'll be much better off when that happens. Like, I'm actually looking forward to Judgment Day because the machines will probably make much better decisions than we're capable of. So, Really can't wait to get there. I'm okay living in the Matrix, to be honest with you. Like,
oh, you're like Cypher?
I think so. Like if just the taste, give me,
that was a steak, delicious piece of
yeah,
steak.
Yeah, if the steak tastes good, I'm good. You know, I don't need to know. Ignorance is bliss, right?
Ignorance.
They're probably
is
not
bliss.
Walking around with masks on, sanitizing their hands or anything. Like they're just living in the Matrix. So, I think I'm okay with that. You know.
But speaking of that, though, I love the idea, like that he goes and Hugo Weaving in when that scene when he's grabbing and touching at Lawrence Fishburne's head,
yeah,
and it's like the sweat on his head, and then he sticks his fingers like in his nose, and yeah. It's like the disgust that he feels for him. It's like that scene, his face, Hugo Weaving's face in that scene.
Yeah,
it's
great.
It's so exactly. It's so like gross, and you're just like, oh, and it's like such disdain for him, for people, because he's a machine.
Right.
He's a program in a machine. He's as clean can be.
Yeah.
Right? There isn't, and he's like this, and he's touching it, and you're just like, it's such a good scene, but it's like, I love his explanation on one that we're a virus, which that kind of was like, apropos
right
to right now, you know, which I don't agree with. I, when you listen to that, that was one of the water cooler things. It's like, oh, you know, you're a virus. It sounds cool. And it's
right.
Like, you know, like, oh, you know, you're a virus. You spread, like all animals do that. You eat and you move on. The idea
right.
is that it replenishes behind you. Then you move back there. It's go to Africa and watch what lions and tigers and bears do. It's like,
oh my,
that's that's what they do. They graze and they move on.
Well, and you're probably about to say this too, and maybe I'm going to cut you off.
Okay,
but
that's cool.
I love the idea also from the same scene. Like this all comes from that interaction with Morpheus and Agent Smith, but where like this is the Matrix 2.0, right? Like their first stab at the Matrix was to give us a perfect existence. Like
they built it
so we would have Eden and. Like the humans,
we didn't know how to handle it.
Like they rebelled against it, right? They
right.
couldn't adapt. Whole crops were lost, you know.
right.
But the idea that like as a species we cannot be content. Like it's just not in us to be happy, you know.
Right.
Too much good is like we just can't take it. And I thought that was so fitting, you know, even knowing.
Have you been on Twitter?
Yeah. 20 something years later, it's never been more evident. But yeah, I just like the idea that it almost seems like they're mad at us because we didn't take their gift of like the perfect existence. You know what I mean? And like
right.
they had to come back and do it again. And now they're a little ticked off because.
Right. They had to rewrite the program
yeah.
because yeah, exactly that. And it's, but I love that was again, that was one of those conversations. Like, why are people like that?
Right.
Why? And it's, I could have an entire different conversation about that right now than I could in 99. Cause in 99,
yes.
we were 29 years old
right.
and knowing what I, you know, 21 years later, you know, almost, you know, well, I'm going to be 50 in a month. You're 50 now. It's like, yeah, it's like the stuff that we've been through. It's like once you get to a good point, you're like, it doesn't last.
Right.
And a lot of the times you see, it's like listening to and talking to Martin Ferretti on the Nerdy Legion. He has a new podcast, The Alchemist's Mind,
mm-hmm.
and talking about like, it listening to that, and I think I talked to you about this off the air, and it's like, I don't have time to meditate.
Right.
It's like, I'm too busy.
Right.
But it's like, that's one of those things. One of the things that he's talking about is like, you got to calm down and be happy in the moment and this, and that's all part of that meditation thing, but you can't because not that you can't, but it's not in our nature.
Right.
It's like our nature is to be challenged. Our nature is to be like, look for something to overcome.
Right.
And if it's not there, we invent it.
Well, right.
You know, we invent
like you
the
were,
challenge.
Like you said, when things are going good, it's almost like self-sabotage. Like we can't handle things being good. So we go
right.
out of our way to concoct these situations
right.
to disrupt it. You know what I mean?
But I wouldn't – in a good situation, I wouldn't say – like people that are fairly successful, they don't sabotage the good things. They take the good things and move on and challenge themselves with the next thing that's going to be difficult. You know what I mean? So then you have that in, like you, like I'll use you for instance. It's like you got to a point in your life, your family was successful. You know, you have a wife, kids, the home. And then it's like, oh, you know, what the hell? I'm 45 years old. Let's start a new business.
Right.
And let's go through that hell.
Right. So, you know, to my point, I self-sabotaged myself.
Because no, but you didn't sabotage what you had. You added on. And that's what I'm talking about. And that's how you grow. And, but do you see what I mean? It's like, so like the Matrix is, yeah, we do want that. Because if you're that utopia, that's called content.
Right.
You have nothing to fight for. You have nothing to live for. And it's almost like that's what we call living is fighting. And if you can direct that in a good way, but you see what I mean? It's like, look at this path we just went down.
But we keep fighting for, to get to a place that we don't really want to be. You know what I mean?
Because we'll never get there. Right.
Because we're continually striving for some place that we think we want to get to. But then when we actually get there, we don't realize we're there and we keep going.
Right. You know? Well, it's like the old thing, the place you'll never get to tomorrow. Cause when you get there, it's today.
Right.
So like when you get, you fight for something and then when you get there, well, you have it. Now what am I going to fight for next?
Right.
On the other side, there's people that sabotage the good they have because that, you know, it's a little messed up. It's like you're ruining good things. But this is what I'm talking about. This is the water cool. This movie generates this type of stuff that you're like, we're having this conversation. We're barely talking about the movie.
Right.
But it's all off of that one scene, which like I said, the virus scene and the, I just thought that was Hugo Weaving was so awesome in that, in the whole movie, really.
Yeah. Well, he was great. And honestly, to me, I think that's the first thing I've ever saw him in. Like, I'm sure he had been in other
things that you
before,
noticed him, yeah.
But yeah, that was to me the first time I had ever seen him, and yeah, he was awesome. And really didn't act at all. Like he acted, but he was so monotone and so bland, really, through the whole thing. But that's what made him great, you know.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Just the way he talks. One of these lives has a future. In one of
that was actually a good impression. Yeah. And I like when Neo gives him the finger and you get the little, But yeah, but that's what he's supposed to be. He's supposed to be that calm, collected, that Lex Luthor.
Yes.
From last week.
He's the Lex. But
yeah, he was so good in this. And like you said, this is probably the first time you saw him in anything. And then it was everything you saw him in after that. Whether it be Lord of the Rings or first event, you know, Captain America when he was
Skull. it's the Matrix guy.
Yeah. And
because every time I see him in anything else, I go, Mr. Anderson.
Yeah, he was really good. I thought Lawrence Fishburne.
Yeah,
he was really good. The role of Morpheus in this and the power, quote, in quotations, that he has, I thought was really cool. And I thought that Lawrence Fishburne, just his stature.
Yeah.
It really portrayed
he commands the scene for sure.
Yeah. Commands the scene, but he's powerful, but he was also that like when he was almost when they almost died and they were he's like a father to them too.
Right.
You know, and it's like just that him standing, moving around, talking, and the way he carried himself. It was, and even when he was in the Matrix and how clear and distinct he was about everything. And it's like dealing with Keanu Reeves and, well, Neo. I thought it was really cool. The whole thing, Carrie Ann Moss was awesome. I mean, the whole entire, Joe Pantoliano or whatever.
Pantoliano, yeah, I think.
Yeah. You know what I always remember him for?
Eddie and the Cruisers.
Yeah, there you go.
Which I can't
find
anywhere. I've been wanting to watch that movie for a couple of years now because my wife's never seen it. And that was one of those summer HBO movies, and I think I saw it one summer 900 times. You know, so
is it on HBO Max? That could be the positive.
Well, maybe. I don't know. I know
The Outsiders is on that,
but it's not anywhere, and you can't even find the DVD. I don't even think it's on DVD anymore. You know, it's really hard to find. But oh man, I love that movie. But yeah, I always remember him from that too. It was a massive 80s flop, it says. But 38% on Rotten Tomatoes. So most people do not share our love for this movie. I was 13 when this came out, and now we're going to turn this into an Eddie and the Cruisers podcast. But
no, but great soundtrack to that. But Joey Pants. That's what I'll always remember him from, Eddie and the Cruisers.
Me too.
And was he a reporter in that?
I thought he was the manager. The woman was the reporter.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. He was the reporter in Daredevil.
Oh yeah,
the movie.
Yeah. Maybe one of those movies that I probably shouldn't go out of my way to find, because it might be one of those ones that doesn't hold up. Although the soundtrack alone.
That's what I just said. Yeah. The soundtrack alone is like.
It's worth the price of admission, so.
Yeah. But that's the thing for me with Eddie and the Cruisers. You find out the lip syncing wasn't as good as you thought back then.
Yeah.
Especially now if you get it in four, it's not going to come out in 4K, but. Yeah.
Oh, actually, the DVD on Amazon is $27, so definitely not going to pay that.
Collector's item.
Must be.
So, let's get back to the movie.
Yeah, I don't know, because I'm going down the Eddie and the, I'm in the Eddie and the Cruisers rabbit hole on Amazon now.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
All right, getting back to the movie itself. I think you've already answered the question, but my question to you was going to be red pill or blue pill.
Yeah, it's funny. I was going to ask you the same thing. I don't know. Like, I would probably take the red pill and then try to be like Joey Pants and go back and take the blue pill.
beforehand, you're backstab everybody.
Well, no. But before you take it, you don't really know what you're getting into, right? So it's like you have to take the red pill because you don't know. But then you get there and you're like, well, just like he says, I wish I took the blue pill, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I think
I probably would have taken the red in that situation and then regretted it afterwards. So,
well, because that's the thing. That's one of those. You know, again, this is one of those water cooler talks, because it's like ignorance is bliss.
Right.
So many times in your life, you're like, you'll think something's great. And then all of a sudden you see how the sausage is made and you're like, oh, couldn't you have just left that alone?
Right.
I didn't need to know this stuff. But that's part of, I think everybody I guess that's pretty presumptuous. But if you go back to the original point that we said, like, it's human nature to fight for stuff.
Right.
Doesn't that mean everybody at some point would take the red?
Right. Well, I think they start there. Right.
If you're in the room having the question asked of you, right, don't you take the red?
Right. I think you do.
Because how did you get in the room if you're going to take the blue?
Right.
You wouldn't even be sitting with them.
Right.
Like, does he actually bring people in and they go, what are you talking? No, blue. I don't.
Right. How many of them took the blue pill and, you know, got dumped off the bridge, you know?
Right. You just go back to your regular life.
I don't think they let you go back. I think they take you out. you running around.
No, you're in the Matrix.
Yeah.
You're not running around anywhere. You wouldn't know anything. What would you do? You can't do anything. You're in the Matrix. It's like you just go back to your job and.
I think Morpheus probably is paranoid and takes
but
you
Morpheus
out.
Doesn't exist. Morpheus doesn't exist in the Matrix, so he wouldn't find you. You wouldn't find him. It would be impossible. You know what I mean? It wouldn't even make sense. So you just take the pill and go back to your normal life, and for all you know, they deprogram you.
You would wake up in your own bed forgetting everything. So
you're done.
Yeah.
Yeah. So who cares? But yeah, I think if you're in the room, you take the red pill. Why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you?
Yeah, I think. Well, yeah, I think you do. But then, like I said, I think you regret it instantly and wish you could go back.
Well, yeah, because you'd never imagine that's what you'd never, you know, we said before,
right,
you'd never imagine you wake up and it's a dream,
right?
And it's like we're imagining it's a dream, and now you wake up and you're a battery,
right?
It's like that. That's the furthest thing from your mind. I mean, I don't even know. Did we know that when we saw the movie? Like,
what's that?
I think that did we know that when Neo woke up, that's what we were going to find out? I don't remember the marketing. I don't remember.
Well, I mean, they sort of allude to it in the trailer, right? Like, I guess I just don't remember it going into the movie, but they kind of let you in on what's going on in the trailer. But maybe I'm filling it in because I know the answers now. And they were kind of more teasers in the trailer than anything.
Right. In a podcast, when we heard the trailer, it was like, you don't see the imaging, but the imaging in that trailer was, they only showed like two quick glimpses of like one of them was his hand coming through the pod. Right. Remember when he was first pushing out and he was like in the ooze. But in a trailer, you don't know what that is.
Right.
And most of the imaging on the trailer was all military stuff. You know, it was the Gatling gun, tons of bullets. They did allude to bullet time a little bit. We'll get into that in a few minutes. But they did allude to that. They had a clip of like him bending over the backwards on the roof there, that right. bullet time scene. But you don't know what that is because that was revolutionary. But it looked like, I think going into this, it was a lot of the, you know, what, like I said, what drew me to the movie was, do you know what reality is? Do you know right. what the Matrix is? Do you know, and all of that, the voiceover that they did on that, it really kind of, I think it drew a lot of people to the movies for this.
Well, I kind of remember the marketing, a lot of what is the Matrix kind of questions on posters and stuff, if I'm remembering exactly. that right.
Yeah.
So I do remember that. But yeah, I think it's easy now to listen to the trailer and your mind fills in all the blanks because you've seen it a bunch of times. But I think the trailer probably didn't give away as much as it feels like it did, you know?
No, it really was more of a, not as much as like when I talked about Jurassic Park a couple weeks ago, but how like they never showed you a dinosaur. But this right. was like, what is the Matrix? And that's why you had to go to the movies to see what they're talking about. Like, right. what is the Matrix? What's a Matrix? What does this all mean? So there was a little bit of air of mystery around it, but it's something that I think, like we said earlier, it's like, that's what something that like a lot of people, everybody thinks about. Like,
right.
Or like, what if this is all a dream? Or worse, like, what if you wake up and you're back in third grade?
Right.
That's my nightmare.
Well, like, or like oh, you no, see it in movies over. Where like they back out of the world like a kind of like distancing shot and you find out you're inside a snow globe or something. Like
right. Well,
there's
yeah,
always
that's,
different ideas
Men in
like
Black.
That. Yeah.
Yeah, you're a marble in a game of right. a giant aliens game or something. Oh, let's bullet time. That was a huge thing in this and it's nobody had ever done that before.
Right.
And the Wachowski brothers coming up with that one between that and what was it like wire foo or something? What did they call it? The kung fu, like it was like the way they fought, which coincided with bullet time.
Right.
But what the heck was it called? I think it was like wire foo or something like that, where they actually did kung fu while they were on the wires and it allowed, like gave Neo that effect where he could jump up and do multiple kicks and run at you and
yeah, but that kind of goes back to the old like Saturday morning kung fu movies that we watched growing up. You know what I mean? Like you got stuff like that, or like Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, where you had that kind of like flying kung fu and stuff. So that the concept of that wasn't necessarily new, but I think the applications of how they did it was new. As far as the kung fu goes, now the bullet time, like that, we had never seen anything like that before. But I always remember those old, like, kung fu movies and stuff where they would be, like, up in the air kicking for, like, 10 minutes, you know, without ever coming down to the ground. And
yeah.
Like, that stuff and obviously those were inspirations for the Wachowskis making this movie because...
Well, Crouching Tiger came out after this.
That did, but that style of fighting that we saw in that movie, we had seen before.
Right. But what I mean by, like, it coincides with bullet time, it's like they stayed up in the air for a reason. Like, they were bending time. They were bending reality to the
right.
Matrix.
Right.
And it was like... Like, bullet time is, like, they're supposed to be moving as fast as these bullets. And, like that one glimpse when you see the agent moving and it's like his arm, like it looks like an octopus, multiple right. arms. He's like, wow, that's what it's supposed to look like visually. But what, when you see it in slow motion, that's what you're seeing there. Similar well, to what right, they do we with saw like it Barry on the Flash now, right, which is commonplace.
We saw it in slow motion, but yet she makes the comments, I've never seen anybody move that fast before.
That fast.
So
right.
that, right, that's their, that's how they depict to us that he's moving faster right. than the bullets, even though it doesn't, you know, it looks like super slow to us. But yeah, at that time, we had never seen effects like that before. And that's what I'm saying. It was pretty groundbreaking. And it, like I said, it mostly holds up. Like even to this day, when you see stuff like that, it still looks pretty impressive. Some of it, some of the other scenes, you know, like some of the fighting scenes and stuff, they don't hold up as well. They felt more, like I never really bought that Agent Smith and Morpheus were fighting that hard, you know, because it felt very staged and choreographed. But I don't remember thinking that in 1999 when I saw it, you know.
See, even now I don't feel like it felt that way to me because I feel like it's, you're fighting the machine. It is, you know, the machine knows what it's, it has the advantage. It's just the machine. It's just a program.
But right, what I'm saying is it never appeared like, to me anyways, it never appeared like any of those blows were actually landing, you know, or like it felt too staged to me.
Oh, okay. You didn't feel like it was choreographed well enough
right.
for, like you're, all right, felt like wrestling.
Right, right. Like an old-timey movie where you could tell they punched and missed by like a mile, you know what I mean?
Right.
It kind of felt like that to me, whereas, you know, if we were watching it today, it wouldn't, you know, that wouldn't stand out as much. But like the effects of the bullet time, for instance, even today, I don't know that we do it that much better than they did it back then, you know.
Right.
To me, that still holds up, you know, some of those effects really do hold up. But like, for instance, with the wire foo or whatever, if we were doing that today, it would have looked more realistic. Like it would have, I think it would have felt better. But again, that's technology, and you can't judge. It's hard to go back and judge a 21-year-old movie based on what was cutting edge 21 years ago. So,
right, right. Well, hey, I mean, it's
doesn't stop us from doing it, but we shouldn't do
they
it.
They are coming out with a fourth. So, that
unfortunately,
should be interesting.
Because I don't, and you know, it's been a while, so I'm sure we'll get to them eventually. But I don't think our conversations about 2 and 3 are going to be nearly as positive as this one.
I enjoyed them, yeah. Of course, but yeah. You're like, yeah, you do,
you do. So I don't know. Again, a 4 could be great, and it could redeem the whole franchise, or it could be 4 and.
Yeah.
Just be more of the same. You know, you would like to think that after, I don't know, 15 or 16 years at least, they wouldn't come back to the well if they didn't have something compelling enough to bring us back. But that can't always be true in this day and age, so.
No. Nope. Let's go down a little bit of a rabbit hole here. Or maybe not. Let's see what happens. What did you think of the Oracle? The whole meeting. And then that the whole idea that this Oracle has been around for a while, and then Neo meeting the Oracle.
Well, I guess I'm not sure what the Oracle is. Like, she exists inside the Matrix, right? So is she liberated? Or is she, like, if she's free, like a free mind, like the rest of them, why are they meeting her inside the Matrix? So I'm not quite sure. Who
if
the
I
Oracle.
Remember right, we find out in the other movies, and she's part of the Matrix, but she's like against the Matrix.
Yeah, and I don't remember because, like I said, I don't remember those other movies
it.
As much.
But
I was it, I.
But
was
just
kinda,
on this movie itself.
Yeah, but I just wasn't sure, honestly, like who she was supposed to be, like if she was even real or not. Because if she's a program of the Matrix, why do they care? Why do they believe anything she has to say? And like I said, if
she's
a free
prophesized stuff, and if
because
it
again,
true,
who are the other who are the other kids? Like who was everybody else that they met in the waiting room and all that stuff? Like if they're, I guess if they're free inside the Matrix, I don't know, were their bodies still in the pods? Like, I don't know. I wasn't quite sure what was going on with any of them, to be honest with you.
Right. So I see what you're saying, though. Like, Morpheus is, they're supposed to be this ragtag group of people.
Right.
That are free outside the Matrix, and then right. they go into the Matrix
to liberate and bring people out.
To bring people out, and, you know, and to battle against the sentient
right.
robots or whatever that are coming and trying to destroy Zion. The question is about the Oracle, though, in that whole meeting is, like you said, it's like, first off, you have that, like you said, the waiting room. Where right. did all these people come from?
Right.
And maybe the answer is the other ships. Like, because everybody's looking for the one. Everybody's right. looking for, and Morpheus thinks it's Neo, which obviously we come to find out he is the one. I was waiting for you, how convenient that, you know, he's the one that found him, but they wouldn't have made the movie about the team that didn't find him.
Well, yeah. I don't know. I didn't even go there, really.
That's gross.
Well, because he spent his whole life searching for him, so he just finally found him. You know what I mean?
Right, exactly.
Like, we just didn't see
to coincide while they were filming the movie.
Right, right. We just didn't see all the years leading up to it where he found all the false ones, you know.
Well, right.
So
yeah, it's always the last one you find.
Exactly. You know? always in the last place you look. Yeah.
Right.
So,
but I love that the Oracle's like, you know, she says that he's not only but prefaced with like, you're not anything if you don't believe it.
Right. And I don't know why that's what he would have needed to hear at the time to make himself believe later on that he was the one. You know what I mean? But that's sort of because that's what Morpheus tells him, right? You heard what you needed to hear. And I don't know why, like,
because
dismantling your confidence is what's going to build your confidence. You know what I mean?
Well, it's, and here's a funny thing. And this is one of the things I've used as a parent. And it's like everybody think, well, some people think that you encourage by saying, like, yes, you can do anything. You can do it. You can do it. And my belief is you don't tell them that they can do it. You tell them that, all right, if it's going to be difficult, you tell them it's difficult. If you tell them you could tell them that it's wrong. But if you tell them the truth and then they still go through with it, at least you've built the trust there. And then they do it on their own.
Right.
And then, so I think that's what the Oracle's doing here. She's not going to just tell you, like, I'm not the, you know, because Neo's the one that said, like, I'm not it, am I?
Right.
And she goes, no, because she can't tell you you're the one. You have to believe it yourself. And that's what she prefaced it with. It's like, if she had just said, like, Morpheus, like, you're the one, he might not even still believe it, but he's been told now by two people. Right. But instead, she says no, and he goes and tries. He doesn't try to, but then he proves it to himself and proves her wrong at the same time. When she really wasn't wrong, she was just saying, unless you believe it, you're not the one, and right. you have to believe in yourself, you know? So I really liked that part, and I thought it added a lot more to the movie to me, and even though it was such a small scene, even the spoon.
Yeah.
The whole, you know, it's one of those, you know, if you believe it, it's true. It's like,
right. Yeah. I mean, I guess I hadn't really thought of it that way. But like I said, I was more wrapped up in really trying to figure out what was going on there. But like you said, I didn't consider that. Maybe that's like the waiting, like maybe that's the rendezvous point, right? Like all the ships come together and that's the place where they can all meet and
right.
greet, you know?
Right, so. Yeah, and that's the other thing. When you saw the room, it was all kids.
Right.
And remember, like, Morpheus says to Neo, like, we apologize.
Normally, right, we don't normally freak
somebody that old.
Exactly.
Must be like the Jedi, because they said the same thing to Luke.
Right. Well, once you become too set in your ways, then it's hard to change, you know?
Right, your mind isn't open.
Right.
But when you're the one, you're the one.
Right. When you know, you know.
So my last question, I guess, It doesn't mean we're done, but my last question is, did you feel like there were any religious undertones that bothered you? Because I've seen a lot of that over the years, and that people are like, oh, blah, blah, blah. The people that are against it don't like it. Similar to Man of Steel.
Yeah.
And people see like the, you know, Jesus and God and all that in that movie, which is definitely there.
Well, it's there in that, in Man of Steel, for sure. I didn't find it in this movie. Nothing stood out and bothered me that way. Now, I mean, I don't get hung up on that very easily, even though I do have a belief system, but I don't look for it in movies. Like, things don't bother me. Like, I can watch Lucifer, you know what I mean? That doesn't bother me.
Right.
And nothing in this.
Oh, I love
like,
Lucifer.
I didn't. Yeah, me too. I didn't. I mean, obviously, Neo would be Jesus, I guess, right?
Yeah.
But I don't know. Like, I didn't really find any of that, to be honest with you, in this movie. I don't think it had very strong religious undertones at all.
I think it's there. I just think it's also entertaining, and you can. I actually don't think it stands out as much as it does in Man of Steel.
Well, I was gonna say, but can't you find it anywhere if you look hard enough? Like, I don't think it was there intentionally, or that there was there to be a subtext of this movie. Whereas in Man of Steel, it definitely stands out to me a lot more, you know. So I don't know. I mean, if you have ideas on it that you want to discuss, it didn't stand out at all.
I don't, that's what I said. I don't think it does either.
Okay.
I don't think it jumps out, but I do think it has that, you know, the Jesus part. You got him and then the prophets and right. That he would come and save everybody. But it's very loose. Like I said, I thought Man of Steel was way, way more.
Right. Well, again, I think that argument, if it's there, it's by people that are looking hard for things to be upset or complain about.
To be upset about.
Yeah.
Right.
Because I don't think it stood out to me as something where, I mean, it stands out in a lot of other places. You know what I mean? Like, there's movies or TV shows where it's very apparent and it stands out. To me, in this, it did not. Like, I didn't find it. I mean, all science fiction has a religious undertone to it. To some degree, right? Because you're going against the religion, because science fiction, you know, science is fact, and you know, I can touch it and I can believe it, and you know, I don't know.
Well, but that gets to the point of like Neo is supposed to be on faith.
Right.
Like, you have to believe that you can jump to that next building. So there's that little bit. But that's such a minor undertone.
That's a minor thing, too. Because, I mean, the same thing. Like, I have to have faith that I can ride a bike, too, right? Like, when I'm learning to ride a bike, I have to have faith that I can do it.
But that's science, too.
Yeah. So.
Because, you know.
But, I mean, anything you accomplish in life, you have to have a little bit of faith. To do it for the first time. So I don't know. Like, that to me didn't, like, you know, like I said, that doesn't stand out to me at all.
Well, just them believing it, that Morpheus is the, not Morpheus, that Neo
is
the
one.
Neo is the
one, right.
Well, Trinity. Yeah, her name's Trinity.
Yeah, and, well, I mean.
Yeah. But even just her believing in him, it's like, you know, and then they become like, well, not there aren't 12 of them, but the apostles. And,
well,
you know,
right, you're going to save the world, I
you're
guess.
Have followers, yeah. And blah blah blah, and it's you go on and.
But I think that's us manually trying to apply it to this movie now. You know what I mean?
Again, I don't believe it's there. It's you and I sitting here trying to be like,
right.
I guess I see.
Well,
what
right,
they're
how
talking
right
about,
we're,
but
we're trying to figure out how
bad.
We can apply right. it to this
how
movie.
How it could be offensive,
right?
Because you're reaching, I think you're reaching, it's like maybe there's some other religions I don't know enough about, but that maybe it touches
yeah, well,
on.
Right. You're right. I don't know. We're assuming when they
know.
Say religious undertones, we're assuming it's Catholic religion, and it could be anything
well,
else.
Christians,
but,
yeah. And,
yeah.
Yeah.
So.
All right. If you have nothing else, the very last thing, I assume you rank this number one in the Matrix.
In the Matrix trilogy? Yes.
Trilogy?
I do rank it number one.
You already gave that away.
Yeah. It's like, it's like the New Hope, right? It's like the first one, so it has to be number one.
Yeah, I have a feeling as this goes forward, it's not going to
It'll
drop,
still be
though.
Number one. Yeah. I mean, I remember, again, it's been a long time, but I remember liking two to a certain degree, but thinking that the third one was just absolute garbage. So we'll have to see if I still feel that way when we watch them again, but maybe yeah, I just didn't under, maybe I just didn't get it.
I don't remember thinking anything was garbage, so yeah. I don't know.
Maybe I just didn't get it and I'm smarter now, and we'll see. But
we'll see.
That's debatable.
We'll see. But I'm sure we'll get to them eventually.
Yeah.
So what did you guys think of The Matrix? Were you offended by the religious undertones?
Yeah.
Way undertones.
Way under.
Let us know on Twitter at brightside_chat. You can email us at brightsidechat@gmail.com. Check out all the great podcasts at Nerdy Legion at nerdylegion.com. Please rate, review, and subscribe. Hey, John, what do we have coming up next on Wednesday?
Funny you should ask. We have,
because I only ask every week at this time.
I know. You would think I would be prepared. We have Birds of Prey, issue number one. Catwoman, the 80th anniversary, 100-page special in all its 12 glorious covers. And The Last God Sourcebook, issue number... Well, I have issue number exclamation point here, but that's clearly supposed to be a one. So
you hit the shift button.
Yep, I did. So
it's like, what does that mean?
Yeah. It's code. It's the Matrix.
Are you supposed to yell, The Last God?
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, and those are the big ones for next week.
Okay, cool. All right, that does it for this week. We'll be back on Thursday with, who knows, books and more.
Yeah.
And who knows, maybe HBO Max will have redeemed itself by then. I don't know.
Well, that'd be a quick turnaround. I wouldn't hold my breath.
Yeah.
Maybe by Christmas.
But anyway.
It's on the roadmap.
Right. Never mind. We're sunshine and rainbows here.
That's right.
We're supposed to, this is Monday. It's supposed to be sunshine and rainbows. We're trying to continue that out. Maybe, Thursday was rough.
Yeah.
So, all right. Have a great week, everybody. We will see you on Thursday.
Take care, everyone.
Hey, Fred. Thanks for listening to the Bright Side Chat. We have a few sponsors who we'd like to mention. Arkham Comics and Games of Pearland, Texas. You can find them at arkhamcomicsandgames.com, one word. A. Pennyworth's Comics and Collectibles in Matthews, North Carolina. You can find them at apennyworthscomics.com. Apothesis Comics and Lounge in St. Louis, Missouri. You can find them at apothesiscomicsstl.com. Friendly Neighborhood Comics of Bellingham, Mass. You can find them at friendlycomics.com. Legends Comics and Games of Littleton, Mass. You can find them at legendscomics.com, comics with an X. And also Rubber Chicken Comics of Bellingham, Mass. And you can find them at rubberchickencomics.com. So what's cool is all of our sponsors have agreed to give our listeners a 10% discount on any comics we talk about in our podcast. So if you hear it in our podcast, just go into any of the stores that we've mentioned and tell them you listen to the Bright Side Chat and you heard about this comic there, and they will give you a 10% discount on any of those books. Hopefully you guys can take advantage of that, and thank you to all of our sponsors. This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.